It's time for the Bench Warmers, featuring Dave Schwartz from Care 11.
Dave's a killer!
Yeah!
And Jill Hammy.
The Hell League you've been playing in.
Schwartz and Hammy. Sounds like a cop sitcom. On the next Schwartz and Hammy, I'm gonna get you, sucker. The Bench Warmers.
Let's go! Let's go!
On Sports Radio 105, The Ticket.
You're still an ass.
What a way to start the show. Good morning. It is 10 a.m., or for some of you, it's 9 a.m. It should be 10. It's 10 a.m. We're in daylight saving time, so make sure you... Or we're not in... Are we not in anymore, or are we in it? I'm not a meteorologist. Let's just say it's an hour later.
Out of it?
It's an hour later. It's 10. We got a great show for you today. We got a whole lot to talk about. Plus, Tyler Mason from Fox Sports North will join us to talk Twins. I'm Dave Schwartz. That's Jill Hammy. She's upset at me.
Yep, sure am.
So I played a joke. I texted her as I pulled in this morning saying, oh my gosh, I'm still a half hour away. This was about an hour ago. I'm going to make it in just in time for the show. And she wrote back very kindly, ha, 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 drive safe.
I was like, you just make sure you drive safe, trying to be nice, you know,
don't speed. To yourself, I'm going to kill you.
Actually, my wheels started turning. I'm like, what am I going to do? Okay, so who can I call? Who can I get?
I said, just kidding, I'm out front. Good morning. And she said to me,
you're an ass.
But here we are.
So I figured we've not done this now for 2 weeks. So,
What version is this?
It's the instrumental version.
Oh, I have to make up the words?
Yeah.
Oh, I can sing along. I don't
know. You don't know the words by heart?
I do, actually. But I've not had enough to drink at this time of morning to get me to sing Frozen karaoke. Try me a little later.
All right, fine. I'll put it on the back burner then. Fade it out. Fade
nobody,
it out.
Nobody
fade
wants out. To hear me sing.
Yeah, I do. After this morning,
well,
I do.
Well, you should let it go. You should let it go.
Dave.
Don't hold it back anymore.
See? You know.
But you don't want to hear me sing. Let's talk about the Wild. Everyone wants to talk about the Wild.
Why wouldn't we all want to talk about the Wild?
All they do is win. They are the Minnesota Wild. Copyright Jill Hammy. Copyright someone else she stole it from. But you can't have two copyrights, so it's only yours.
I stole it before I even knew.
See? Then it doesn't count as stealing.
So.
Great. It's another great week for them. They went on the road. They keep doing this. And they've played so well behind Devin Dubnyk, who's just been fantastic. They have Colorado tonight, 5:00. But this team just cannot stop singing Devin Dubnyk's praises.
They can't. And it's amazing to see him play. And it's fun to hear him. He's excited. He's having a great time. And I know I pulled some audio from the post game when they were talking to him about, like, the fans traveling now. They're traveling, so.
Yeah, I mean, can you believe this?
It's awesome.
Minnesota.
Yeah. No, it's amazing. It's true. Like, I mean, Colorado was something else, but every game, Washington here, I mean, this is a long way from many, too, so it's pretty crazy. You can hear them. You can hear them when we score. You can hear them when we make good plays, and, you know, it's fun. It's pretty awesome to see.
You've gotten a taste of the home crowd in Minnesota. What do you expect they're going to greet Colorado after the way they're
going? Oh, man, it's going to be fun. I'm sure it'll be just as good as it was in Colorado, probably louder, so we'll do our best to give them something to cheer about.
I think it's going to be crazy.
That should be an awesome game tonight. Mike Yost said last night, basically, or we had the soundbite, he said the other day, basically, we're not really going to be all that concerned with trying to fight Colorado again because they have a playoff race to worry about and Colorado doesn't. But I'm fairly certain that some, let's call it shenanigans will go on in this game.
Well, especially after the last game.
Yeah, you have to. The Wild, at deadline day this week, acquire Jordan Leopold. They acquire Chris Stewart. Our thoughts, you know, your thoughts on the acquisitions, I like them. I think, I don't think that there was a ton to address as far as a main frontline forward or defenseman at this point. They needed depth, and that's what they got in depth. And that's really what you need at this point. I love the idea of bringing Jordan Leopold in, and not just because his daughter's letter was absolutely adorable. And no, Chuck Fletcher in the Wild did not see that before they signed him. It's a great thought, but I don't think that's actually the case.
Well, and didn't she write it in January? It was
she
part
wrote
of some
it in January
class.
When the Wild were floundering.
Yeah.
And she wanted her daddy home. So that was, I mean, it was better than the alternative, you know, saying, please keep him. That wouldn't have... that wouldn't have gone very well.
Yeah.
So, and it probably wouldn't have gone national.
No, definitely would not. Well, actually, no, maybe I bet it would have.
You never know.
I bet it would have.
Good news, bad news is still news. Go ahead.
I was just going to say about Leopold, I get it. Definitely they did need the depth. I think that was something that they were lacking at this point. He's injured a lot, which worries me.
Yep.
After his first game, he commented that his back hurt. So
already.
So it's just, he's been hurt this. He's had a very injury prone career in general. So that worries me a little bit, but, he's been doing okay.
I like what he brings to the locker room. And we talked a little bit about this with the Timberwolves last week, is that he is a guy that's been on playoff runs.
Mm-hmm.
He's not won a Stanley Cup. But when you look at that defensive core and in that locker room in general, as far as players with playoff experience who have been all the way, there aren't many.
No.
Matt Cook has played for a Stanley Cup. Ryan Carter has played for a Stanley Cup. Beyond that, I don't think there's anyone else who's won or played for a Stanley Cup. Now, granted, he has not won a Stanley Cup, nor has he, but he's played on playoff caliber teams. He
right.
knows what it takes to make it to the finish line, or at least close to the finish line. I like that, especially when you have guys who are young, your top defensemen, six guys under 30 years old.
I know.
Ryan Suter's up there. Jonas Brodin's only 21 years old, but he's wise beyond his years.
Mm-hmm.
Matt Dumba's only 20. So now you have a guy like Leopold who, by all accounts and everything I've heard and seen, seems like someone who will mentor.
Yeah.
A group of young guys. So I like the acquisition of him. I think he provides depth, and I think he's a locker room guy, which they need.
And they already have he has a good rapport with some of the guys in the room, the locker room, because he's played with them.
Mm-hmm.
And they all, nothing but great things to say about him. So I think it's another positive thing to add to.
And another gopher. With a four or five now? Five?
Yeah.
Is he the fifth gopher on maybe I'm missing one somewhere, but the fifth gopher. I like that, Chris Stewart, I haven't seen a ton of him yet. Certainly he's not made his mark on the scorer's sheet. The little I've watched of him and what I like about him is that he hits everything that moves.
Yes.
He never stops, and they need that.
Yes, they do.
And had it, the money that he's making, I think his contract is $462,000, which, as nice as that sounds to us hockey-wise, that's not a lot of money.
No, it's not. And isn't Buffalo covering half of that?
Yeah, this is a deal they've tried to get done for a very long time. He's not too many years removed from some of his very good seasons.
Mm-hmm.
But he's a physical presence, and they don't have it right now.
No, they don't. They needed that badly, and that's why I was pretty pumped when they signed him. He does have the physical presence. He admitted, he was off to a shaky start in Buffalo. He had a rough start to the season, but he started to pick it up halfway through. He's excited to be here. He found out live on air that he was going to Minnesota. So, and he's like, sounds good. And he was already, we're playing in the playoffs. I'm excited to play in the playoffs. That's what he said. So that's another thing where it's like, he's pumped, and he's only, is it three games in?
Yes.
Three games in now, or two.
Might even be two.
I think
he's only played twice. Tonight's his third game.
Yeah. So, and tonight I think will be a true test for him against Colorado, bringing that physical play that is something that you need against Colorado.
I just like him for the one simple fact that someone can finally be a physical presence, and we can stop hearing so much about Brian Bickell. Every year in Chicago, that guy is just plagues us. Hashtag us. Okay, hashtag us. But, and no one on the Wild can ever seem to stop. And it's inevitable.
Small.
If you go in the playoffs, you're going to have to run up against Chicago at some point in the Western Conference. And he is just a Wild killer. And I'm not lying, the first thing I thought of was, finally, someone will be able to knock Bickell on his butt.
Yeah, well,
it never happens.
I know. Well, it's needed. You can't have a team without at least one guy that's willing to stand up and that can actually go after and be that guy that's like, hey, no, not cool. You need to knock that off. Maybe Dubnyk won't have to stand up for himself anymore. Maybe he'll actually have somebody be able to go in there and do it for him.
No kidding. Now coming up this week, the deadline, the trade deadline, so to speak, it's not a trade deadline, but the NFL league opens for business on Tuesday the 10th, so that's Tuesday. Free agency opens. So we're chomping at the bit. I mean, if you're going to put your general manager's hat on and you're Rick Spielman, there's so many things you have to go after. But I think with the fact that they're getting rid of Matt Cassel, first and foremost, you got to go after a quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
You need someone who can back up Teddy Bridgewater. And because then the problem with that position is it's such a key position. You're one injury. If he goes down, you can derail your entire season.
Yes.
And so you got to have someone. So there's a couple guys out there. And for those people who, and I've heard the rumors, Tavares Jackson, why?
Really?
Why would you? Yeah, well, he's up in Seattle and people are saying, well, maybe he'd come back to Minnesota. What's old is new again. Kevin Garnett's back and I mean, come on. If you're Rick Spielman, could you really sit there and go, well, let's see, Tavares Jackson. Well, when he was here, he was terrible. Yeah, I think I'll pay him, P.S., more than what I had to pay him last time, thanks to time served in the NFL. There's just no way to me. There's no way that you sign him.
Yeah, I'll agree with you on that.
I like Mark Sanchez. I think if Philly doesn't decide to sign him, and I know you're thinking butt fumble, because that's what everybody thinks of, and I'm a Jet fan. Everyone thinks of, oh, Sanchez, the guy with the butt fumble or the guy with the 10 gazillion interceptions. The best QB rating of his year last year in Philadelphia.
So he had a good year.
Had a great year. Third most touchdowns ever. Fewest interceptions ever. Now, that's barring Philly doesn't try to bring him back. Mm-hmm. And all of this, we should say, is barring that that the Vikings can afford these guys at a cap-friendly price.
So we're still talking pending.
We're saying perfect world, these guys would be able, we're going to say free agents that would fit under the cap based on what the Vikings have to spend. An expensive option is obviously Mark Sanchez. A cheaper option would be, and I know people around here probably know this guy's name, Scott Tolzien, the former Wisconsin quarterback. He was in San Francisco last year. He really hasn't done much the last couple of years. So,
well, bring him on board.
What a sell job, right? But he's only a couple of years removed. He played in three games in 2013. He had two games where he passed for 280 yards and 339 yards, respectively.
Well, that's not so bad.
Well, now, he had one touchdown and two interceptions in those games.
That's bad.
But he's a backup. So you have to remember, you're not getting the cream of the crop here. You just need someone to hold the fort if Teddy goes down, and hopefully not for a long time.
Can he?
Well, he did for a short period of time in 2013. Sanchez is my first choice if I'm Rick Spielman. Now, I don't know that you're going to be able to get him. Philly could very well try to bring him back, especially if he's willing to take less money, and they seem to like him. So my inclination is that he's going to go back to Philadelphia.
So he's out. Are there really any other options out there?
There's others. There's other journeymen. There's other people. Who are available. Those are the two that I think. There's a lot out there. I mean, you know, there's always someone who you never knew, and everything will flesh out earlier in the week. So we'll see. I also think they should, and we've heard rumors of this, make a run at A.J. Hawk.
Oh.
Middle linebacker. Again, cap friendly if it works.
Yeah.
Jasper Brinkley's not going to do it. He's the guy that played middle this year. Audie Cole. Gotta love the guy. He's always fun to watch in the fourth preseason game when nothing matters, but he's a special teams guy. So I'd love to see AJ Hawk. Real quick before we close out the first block, Class AA state finals last night. Did you watch?
I didn't get a chance to watch the game. I followed along with it, but I didn't get a chance to watch. Undefeated the entire season.
Think about how hard it is to go 31-0 with a group of high school kids.
That is crazy.
You know, kudos to Trent Eigner, who's their head coach. That not only is it difficult to keep high school kids focused at all, but to keep their heads level enough that they don't, I mean, you have to remember, they did not look past one single game on their schedule. 31-0. Hasn't been done in a big school since 92-93, Bloomington Jefferson, a team that had, I believe, five guys that went on to play in the NHL. Mark Parrish won, Ben Clymer won. That was a really good team.
Man.
You have six guys, I think, as of right now, who are Division I athletes on Lakeville North, and there's probably going to be a couple more, not to mention the Paling brothers, Jack, Nick, and Ryan, who are all going to St. Cloud State and who are phenomenal hockey players. But to pull off 31-0 with a bunch of high school kids, 16, 17, 18-year-old kids, they didn't believe their own hype. How hard is that to do with high school kids?
It would be impossible.
Yeah. They're invincible. And so,
congratulations.
Congratulations to them. It was a great game. Congratulations to Duluth East. They did have a great year. Listen, they were, they were on the ropes a number of times.
Come from behind wins.
They were down to Elk River. They had to go to double OT in the section finals. They beat St. Thomas.
Yeah.
They beat Edina.
They did good.
They deserve to be there. Hermantown in Class A, almost, they've gone now, they're 0-6 in title games in Class A. I know Bruce Plant's probably one of the funniest coaches you'll ever hear. he is hilarious, and they basically got up there last night and said, yeah, this kind of sucks, but I'm used to it, which you just hate for the guy. East Grand Forks played a nice game. They scored 2 goals in 20 seconds, Hermantown did at the end, to tie it back up and go to overtime, so... I love the state hockey tournament. It's fantastic. If you go on Twitter today, you can find the all-hair team as well. I encourage you to do that because it's awesome. I love hockey
yeah,
there.
Yeah, I'll have to look that up.
Coming up next, Tyler Mason from Fox Sports North joins us. He just got back from spring training, and boy, are his arms tired. We will talk about the Minnesota Twins and so much more. Let's see if he can tell us what the rotation's going to be this year for pitching, because I sure don't know. We'll do that coming up next. Sports Radio 105, The Ticket.
The Benchwarmers on Sports Radio 105, The Ticket.
Is this tag team?
Yes.
Whoomp, there it is. Whoomp, here he is. Tyler Mason from Fox Sports North. Came back all tanned from Florida. Did you? Are you tan?
I did get a little tan, yeah. I got some sunburn, too, while I was down there, but I think it's turned into a tan by now.
Oh, you poor baby.
Are you? Yeah, right. We're the smallest violin in the world for you. Are you a baseball hat guy? Are you there when you're there, or do you go, like, full Indiana Jones floppy hat to really keep the sun out?
No, I wore just a kind of regular baseball hat a couple of days. I just wore the sunglasses too, so try to mix it up a little bit. But try to stay out of the sun. You know, it's in the shade. It's a little hot, so I was trying my best not to get too burned.
Everybody in the audience right now is going, "Oh, jeez, how did
so
you ever
sad.
Die?"
Not trying to rub it in.
Well, Tyler, you spent a couple. Who are you down there? About a little over a week chatting with your Minnesota Twins. The question everyone this seems to come up at least every year the last couple of years, and so we can start with this. What are the odds you think we'll see Miguel Sano and or Byron Buxton this year?
I think there's a chance we see one, probably for sure one, if not both of them, at some point. I guess I would add with that. You know, Byron Buxton might be more likely a September call-up just because of, you know, the injuries he had last year. He only played one game at Double-A, so you know, I'm guessing he'll start at Double-A unless he tears the cover off the ball, which is possible for, you know, how good of a player he is. I think probably late season would be realistic for him at the earliest. Miguel Sano, he's kind of a question mark just because he missed all of last year,
right,
you know, with the Tommy John surgery, so... We know what he's done in the minors in the past, but it's going to, you know, be a matter of how he picks it back up after being off for a whole year. So, you know, he's gotten into a couple games, I think, already done in Fort Myers. And, in batting practice, it looks like the same guy just crushing home runs over the left field fence. But, you know, that defense is still going to be a question mark for him at third base. So, you know, I wouldn't be shocked if he was maybe called up, sometime later in the year before September, you know, whether it's August or something like that. But, I think realistically, before those two guys are, you know, in the major league full time, will probably be at least 2016.
Is it for Sano? Obviously, the position is what's going to deal with because of Trevor Plouffe. How short of a leash is Plouffe on? I mean, is it going to take some sort of catastrophic injury for him before we see Sano?
Yeah, I mean, I think, just as far as backup third baseman, you know, the Twins have a couple guys, and
right,
Eduardo Escobar is a guy who could play that spot if they needed him to. But yeah, I mean, Plouffe had a decent year last year. I know he didn't put up the home run numbers that he did a couple years ago, but defensively, we've seen Plouffe get better every year, it seems like. And, you know, the defense for Sano, like I said, is still his big issue. And, you know, his size is a little bit of a concern. Seems like he keeps getting bigger. And, Terry Ryan was asked about whether Sano is going to stay at third base or whether they'll move him to an outfield spot. And the Twins sound content on keeping him at third base. So that will be an interesting scenario that's going to have to play out when, you know, if and when Sano gets called up and, you know, what they do with Plouffe, if they kind of platoon him at third base or, you know, play Sano more at designated hitter.
Yeah.
It's going to kind of depend. But, yeah, that is kind of an interesting, question mark to see what happens with Plouffe.
Have you seen a culture change with Paul Molitor? I mean, I think everybody, we didn't necessarily think Ron Gardenhier couldn't manage anymore, but really just that when you have someone who loses, when the losing happens so much, something's got to change. Did Molitor come in, and is it the breath of fresh air, I think, that people and players were hoping for?
Yeah, it really did seem like that down there. You know, just talking to a lot of the guys who have been around, you know, Gardenhier in the past, and now with Molitor, you know, they talked about just kind of a different energy this year in spring. And, you know, players are always going to be optimistic when spring training rolls around, and, you know, there was that sense as well. But I just think, you know, kind of the energy that Molitor brings is so different than Gardenhier. A lot of players praise him for his attention to detail. You know, he's such a great baseball mind, too, so he knows every little nuance of the game, and I think you know, the players are really appreciating that and kind of picking up on that. So it does have a different feel, and then, like you said, just a breath of fresh air, just to change it up after four losing seasons, I think was almost as important as anything. But, you know, then to do it with a guy like Paul Molitor, a Hall of Famer, you know, just adds another element to it. But it definitely did have a different vibe down there, at least early on in camp.
So I'm looking at the starting five last night, or at least trying to figure it out, and I'm basically writing and scratching out on my pad and writing and scratching out on my pad. You've got Santana and Hughes is your top two. From three and then five, what do you think, and how is this play? I mean, it seems like there's going to be a lot of competition at the five spot, and there's so many question marks. And I don't know, maybe it's too early to tell at this point, but how do you see the rotation going after we get past Santana and Phil Hughes?
Yeah, well, I think you got to put probably Ricky Nolasco in at number three. I know he had a bad year last year, but just based not only on the contract that he's being paid, but his track record in the past too. You know, the Twins are pretty confident that he's going to bounce back and, you know, put 2014 behind him. And I think Kyle Gibson at this point is probably the number four starter. You know, it's not a guarantee by any means. That's maybe one of the four that's not as set in stone in that rotation. But I think just the year that Gibson had last year put him in pretty good position to be in that rotation and, you know, at the number four spot. And then it is a wide open race right now for that fifth starter spot. And you look at a number of different guys. You know, Alex Meyer is a guy that a lot of Twins fans want to see up here. And Mike Pelfrey is still getting a chance to play for that spot. Tommy Malone is a guy that I'm kind of intrigued by. The Twins got him from Oakland last year, and I think he pitched just five or six games. The neck injury that limited him at the end of the year, but he'd be the only left-hander in the rotation, and really of those five guys competing for that fifth spot, he's the only left-hander too. So just to add some variety to the rotation, I think would be big. But he's also a guy who had some success when he was with Oakland too. So if he has a good spring, I think it's going to be hard to overlook what he can do. So it is a little early to predict who that number five guy is going to be, but I think Malone is probably a strong candidate, and I think Alex Meyer maybe a little bit more of a long shot, but just the stuff that he had, I think he's certainly intriguing.
One of the exciting things last year, especially with the All-Star game here, was watching Brian Dozier just crush the ball. 23 home runs, 242 last year. Do you believe, and from what you've seen early on, that he is ready to do this again, that he's poised to do this again, or was last year somewhat of an anomaly for him?
Yeah, I don't know if the home runs are going to be quite where they were last year. You know, I think he could be a 15 to 20 home run kind of guy, but, you know, I think the batting average and the on-base percentage is something that, you know, he's trying to focus on a little bit more, getting on base more, you know, near the top of that lineup. And, you know, we saw him steal 21 bases last year, and a lot of that was due to Paul Molitor, who, you know, he worked a lot with on base running and kind of picking up things from different pitchers. So I'm curious to see if that'll jump even more now that Molitor's the manager. It sounds like, you know, the Twins are going to want to be aggressive on the bases, so I think Dozier could easily steal 20 bases again this season. I jokingly asked him if he's going to be in the home run derby again this year after watching him hit some batting practice bombs, but and he said if they had him back, he'd do it, but it wasn't necessarily his goal. But, you know, it's been fun to watch the progress that Dozier has made over the last couple of years, and the power was a part of that. But I think more than anything, just getting that average up a little bit is the biggest thing for him.
Talking with Tyler Mason. If you want to follow him on Twitter, at FSN Tyler Mason, at FSN Tyler Mason.
Tyler, we're going to be playing a game here in a little bit.
Okay.
It's called Who's on First? By the way, I just want to make it very clear, I did not pick the song for this.
Fill in the blank.
I'm sorry. Who's on First was last week. Sorry.
It's daylight savings.
Daylight savings. I can blame it on that. There's a couple of questions I want to get your answer on.
Okay.
Torrey Hunter's batting average, what is it going to be this?
Oh, boy.
You jumped.
That's a good question. I'll say 270, somewhere around there.
Okay.
Just off the top of my head, I'd have to look at his numbers from the last couple of years, but we'll say 270.
All right.
What she's doing right now is cheating. She's trying to get all of your answers so that she knows. So you know, you're cheating. You're helping her cheat.
No, I am not, Dave. I did this last night.
Hey, how much of Torrey Hunter are we actually going to see this year? That was something I was – I mean, he's not – is the thought that he's an everyday player, or is the thought that he's – is he going to get the Kevin Garnett treatment where he kind of gets in there when he's ready to or every other day?
No, I think he's going to be more of an everyday player than Kevin Garnett's been for the Wolves. I think obviously lots have been made of the mentorship that Torrey brings to some of the younger players and just kind of the leadership in the clubhouse. But, you know, you look at what he did last year at 38 years old, and he was still productive for the Tigers. Obviously not quite the same player as when he was with the Twins the first time around. But, you know, as of right now, I get the sense that the Twins see him as their everyday right fielder and, you know, moving Oswaldo Arcia to left, and that allows Torrey to play right. And you know, I think he's excited to still get the chance to play every day. So I don't think it's just going to be kind of a, you know, fill-in role for him. I think he'll be out there more often than not.
That's good. I'm actually really excited about this upcoming season. It feels different.
It does. Like I said before, just a different energy, and I don't know, it just seems like this might be the year they finally start turning things around, although
yes,
we've been saying that the last couple of years. So.
Which will lead me to the other question for fill in the blank. How many wins do you think the Twins will have?
Oh, boy. Let's see, what they won 70 games last year. Mm-hmm. I will say, just off the top of my head, I'll say 78 wins, so eight-team improvement, I guess.
I see it improving.
Could be more than that, but you know, I'll be conservative and say that. I think that's
optimism.
Realistic. I think it's realistic.
You're still feeling good from all that vitamin D and sun. Tyler Mason, thank you very much. Again, you can see his stuff on Fox Sports North, FSN, Fox Sports North, and on Twitter at FSN Tyler Mason, Tyler with a Y. Tyler, thanks very much. Great to have you. Hope we can chat with you again sometime.
What else would it be with?
Sounds good. Thanks for having me.
Tyler, how else do you spell Tyler?
She's just mad. You're just mad because you cheated. Thanks, Tyler. We will play Fill in the Blank as Jill Hammy picked out the song for Fill in the Blank.
Did not.
She did. We'll play Fill in the Blank coming up next on Benchwarmers Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
You're listening to 105 The Ticket. Back to the Benchwarmers.
There. This is what I think.
I don't lie.
No. Now we have to go into what you pick.
Time to play Fill in the Blank. Jill, hit us with your favorite song.
Fill in the Blank.
That's it. It's like three
seconds. That's all I allow.
It was 1 second of country music. Fill in the Blank. We will have a couple of scenarios here.
Fill in the Blank.
You don't want to play anymore? Hit it one more time. At least get our money's worth.
Fill in the Blank.
Fill in the Blank. You can play at home, too. You can fill in your own blank. And if you don't like our blank, then you can go with your blank instead. All right, Jill, what's the first one?
All right, first question, which we addressed with Tyler Mason of Fox Sports North. Torrey Hunter, what do you think his batting average will be?
I think Torrey Hunter is going to be pretty close to on par with what he's done the last couple of years. In the past nine seasons, only once has he hit below 270. He's still in the same division. He is only a couple of years removed from winning a Silver Slugger Award. Mm-hmm. Hit 286 last year. 2 years ago, he was 304. He only struck out 89 times last year in 2014.
Oh, that's not bad.
No. So he's still got it. He may not have the jump in his step and the speed that he used to. I don't believe that his bat is a huge liability. I am going to say, and I did not steal this from Tyler Mason because I wrote it last night and you can see it. I'm saying he hits.
I can't tell you wrote that last night.
I could have wrote it 5 minutes ago. I'm going to say 270. I think he's going to hit right at 270. It's slightly below his average, but not a whole lot. And if you look at what he's dropped off from 2 years ago to last year, it's kind of consistent with that.
I went 265.
Why do you hate Torrey Hunter?
I don't hate Torrey Hunter at all. I actually rather like.
Kind of sounds like you do.
Torrey Hunter. I don't hate him. I just think that, again, and no offense to the age thing, because I got another year older on Thursday. So
congratulations. Happy birthday.
Congratulations for
27?
Oh, I wish. No. Not even close. But, yeah, I just think I'm a little drop off. Not much. I think there'll be a little bit. I don't hate Torrey Hunter.
Sounds like you do.
Well, I don't.
All right. Hit us for the next one.
Next question. Devin Dubnyk will have how many total wins in 2015? I'm guessing meaning the remainder of regular season?
Correct.
Okay. That's what I went with when you sent that question over. So I say 28.
28.
He's currently 18-3-1. Plus his teammates love him. A lot.
I don't know. You know, it's...
Didn't sound like a lot. I don't know.
When he came and played well those first couple games, it was almost as if we were all able to take a deep breath and slowly, slowly remember how we have to play to win and not cheat. And that's what we caught ourselves doing. And he made big saves. You know, his first couple games and really let us just settle back down and play the game that we know how to play and play what the way that makes us successful. I don't think anyone had predicted that we would go on the run that we've been on, but he's given us some stability and it's paid off.
Mm-hmm.
I love how hockey guys, they just never get too high or too low. He's in love with what the Dubnyk's doing. He's like, I don't know.
I guess. Maybe he's pretty good.
I guess. It's like he's trying to downplay. He's got a crush on a girl. He's okay. I say Devin Dubnyk has 27 wins.
So you went under.
18-3-1 since joining the Wild.
Yep.
I'm going to say that down the stretch of the last, did we say 13 games left, I see two more losses. I think the Islanders are tough. They're playing so well right now.
Yes, the Islanders are.
And the Kings are the Kings. They're playing decently as well. So I see those two as losses. My prediction, and the reason why I sit at 27, is because I think if they are firmly in the playoff hunt, which I believe they will be by the last week of the season.
This you're going to say makes me nervous.
That they're going to sit him down and have him take a rest.
Which I get. I mean, I get it, but...
Well, there's two schools of thought. If he's the hot goalie, do you want him to sit down?
I know.
Before you start the playoffs.
Do you want him to cool completely down? And
but
then,
if he's played at that point 30-plus straight games without a day off.
But he feels good? I mean,
well, they always say they feel good.
Their legs are good.
Does he? Have you seen him?
No, I mean,
he's not exactly a male model.
I didn't mean it like that.
He's
got some zip to his step after some games.
He's a little pep in his step. I agree. I think do you go with a hot goalie or do you give him a break? And it all depends on who you are, whether you decide to give him that time off and risk something going haywire in his head while he's got some extra time to think.
I know. See, that scares me.
Or do you just keep playing him and hope that his legs don't give out? We've already established that he didn't play a lot prior to joining the Wild this year. So he's got the legs there. But 30 straight. If you're going above 30 straight games, that's a lot of games for a goalie to play.
It is in a
matter of months.
But, do you want to mess with it? Do you want to mess with that? I mean, with this, do you want to mess with this?
I think you sit him down. I think his confidence is high enough, especially if they're way in the playoff picture. I don't think missing three games, getting a break. I mean, I wouldn't give him a first class ticket to Cabo and go tell him to hang out for a couple of days.
Have some drink.
I would say. Just relax.
Deep breaths.
Get in the cold tub, get in the hot tub, get a massage, get a steak dinner, do what you got to do. Just be ready to go when we kick things off and wherever they're going.
Keep his mind there. That's what, you know?
His mind's all right. He's more confident than he's ever been in his career right now. And you hear the way the guys talk about him and how much they love him. I mean, that's as ring of an endorsement as you're going to get from Zach Parise. That's it, right?
I know.
I don't know. He's pretty good. I mean, that's it. That's as good as it's going to get.
I know.
So they love him.
He's well, and he said that's exactly what has been. He's solid now. Mm-hmm. It gave him that confidence they needed because they knew that they didn't have to worry about the pucks getting in net. I mean, for a change. It's a nice change of pace for them, I'm sure.
People on Twitter liked the song, by the way. Thank you, Ben.
Moving on.
All right. You should hit that between each one.
No.
Failing them.
No.
No. Okay. What's the next one?
Adrian Peterson. How many yards is he going to rush for in 2015?
All right. So I dug deep for this one. I will say Adrian Peterson will rush for 1,400 yards next year.
That's exactly what I have.
Did you really?
Yep.
1,400 yards, and I'm going on this based on that I think he probably won't be a Viking next year.
Yeah.
I could be very wrong, but I just think and even if he is a Viking, it could still stay the same.
Actually, I'm going to go 1,401, kind of like The Price is Right.
Bum, 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 bum. If he goes to the Card, there's three teams that are being talked about, at least by his father, the Cardinals, Dallas, and the Colts. Mm-hmm. And if you look at those three teams, they are primarily passing offenses. So the Colts, number one passing offense. Dallas was 16th. And the Cardinals were 14th. So those are teams with pretty well-established offenses, and they're going to pass the ball a lot.
Yeah.
So Adrian Peterson isn't going to get a ton of touches. In his most productive season in Minnesota in 2009, that's when they had Brett Favre, he rushed for 1,383. So you're looking at him joining a team where they're going to pass a lot.
Yeah.
That being said, he's fresh, he's hungry, and yes. Adrian Peterson is the best running back in the game of football, and he yep. might be remembered as one of the best ever.
Yep.
When it's all said and
totally
done.
Totally
agree. So I think 1,400, or you could even go above.
1,401.
There you go.
Next question. Kevin Garnett is going to play for how many more seasons? I have, and this, I struggled between this. I finally landed on two.
Really?
I did.
Two more after this one?
Yeah. And that, I know, I think... The way that he is with the team, I think he's having a great time now. I think that I struggled with this. I thought about it a lot, and I could be completely off base here, and it may only be one, but because I went between one and two.
I think the risk is good. I like what you're.
Yeah.
I like it. Well, now he's having a great time. Let's not forget, because he's playing 20 minutes every other game and getting paid $12 million to do so.
Dave.
That's a sweet deal.
But his experience is infinite.
Yes. And these guys care much more about experience and having fun than they do about money.
Well, and looking just at the way he is even on the bench with these guys, you know, he's helping them so much and teaching them so much. He's the leader.
He's going to be 39 next year. 39, he's going to have to take a pay, $12 million next year to play 20 minutes every other night. I say Garnett, and I was overestimating, I say he's got one more year tops. And I'm not even sure that he's back next year. When you look at some of the, he's up there with Tim Duncan, with Nazir Muhammad, with Steve Nash. But those guys are still logging, at least Duncan and Nash, and although Nash has been hurt, some major minutes.
Yeah.
Every night. Kevin Garnett's not going to log those minutes. So to me, it's going to be, what do the Timberwolves want? Do they want him? And is he willing? He's going to be willing to take less money. That's why he came
yes.
here. Right? So he'll take less money if he wants to play. Mm-hmm. It's whether the Timberwolves want to spend, what, $3 million, couple million a year on him to play 20 a night and keep mentoring, or if he's ready and he just has had enough. Now, there were reports out that they were trying to get him to sign a two-year extension.
Yeah.
When he came here, it hasn't happened yet. He may want to deal with that after the season and see what happens. But for purposes of our game, I will say one. I will say he'll play one more year.
And then that brings us to our final question. We're going to go back over to the Twins. Asked Tyler Mason the same question. He said 78 wins. How many wins will the Twins have in 2015?
Vegas says 70 and a half. I'm going to say 70.
I say 75.
75?
Mm-hmm. I do.
Okay.
Like I said, I have a good feeling about the season. I just, things feel different. It feels good. It feels good.
I thought 70 was being nice.
Dave, why do you hate the Twins?
I love the Twins, but I also love I think, and we've talked about this, the Central got better. They're going to face great pitching. They're going to face great hitting. Now, the wild card to me is, and I've talked about this, is what Ricky Nolasco is going to do. And that's going to make, because Irvin Santana and Phil Hughes are going to get you your wins.
Yes.
And you just don't necessarily bank on starters 4 and 5 getting wins for you on a regular basis. So if Ricky Nolasco is Ricky Nolasco of a couple years ago, I could totally see 75 wins. If Ricky Nolasco is Ricky Nolasco of last year and he's, you know, doing rehab stints in the minors by the All-Star break, 70 might be tough.
Not going to happen.
You don't think so?
No.
I hope not,
too. It's going to be a good season.
Their opening day starter has been in the minors by the All-Star break.
That would be
Ricky Nolasco
like
and the Vanimal. Vance Worley. Of course, he went somewhere else and it worked out just fine.
Yes, he did. All right.
That was fill in the blank. Did you like it?
Fill in the blank. I did, except for the song.
You want to play it one more time?
No.
You sure?
It's really... Okay, fine. I will... For you...
See, I gave you the opening to use the Kevin Garnett. Hell no.
I know. Well, oh yeah. Dang, I forgot about that. Thanks to Hardwood Rob, we have those. I forgot.
Fill in the blank.
Are you not going to let us take it all the way out to break?
No. That's it. That's it. I'm
all right. That was fill in the blank. We had some fun. We will talk more about the Wild on the other side of this break, as well as what we are looking forward to coming up in the week of sports. You are listening to the Benchwarmers on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
Back to Schwartz and Hammy, the Benchwarmers on 105 The Ticket.
You said later. It's later.
I'm going to drag this out as long as I can before I actually give in to start singing this. My daughter's at home right now listening, probably belting it out in the living room. I know. My son turns 5 today, by the way. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Jack. Happy birthday, buddy. 5 years old today. I can't believe it.
March birthdays are awesome.
He got up and his Aunt Jenny bought him roller skates.
Ooh.
So he was, this is why being 5 is awesome.
Skates?
He was roller skating around the house in footy pajamas with his skates on. That's why being 5 is great.
That's fantastic.
Because that's the kind of stuff you can do. And, I'm not doing it. I just can't.
Oh, you're
Nobody
such a
wants
party
to
pooper.
Hear me sing someday.
I'll
someday.
Let it go.
We will say, when we have reason to celebrate, I will belt out Let It Go.
Okay.
Off the microphone.
All right. What?
Did you, what?
I yeah, didn't say I heard that.
Hear what? It was a blip in the system. A lot of things to look forward to this week in the world of sports. We have the Big Ten tournament for the men that gets kicked off on Wednesday. Gopher men's basketball. They need, well, nothing short of a miracle to get through the Big Ten tournament and have, I mean, they don't have a shot at the NCAAs unless they win it all, the NCAA tournament.
Yeah.
At this point, I would say they might even be a long shot to make it to the NIT.
It's been pretty rough.
It's been a rough year. They have, the other night against Wisconsin, they were just outmanned and outplayed. And they've looked good at times. They've looked bad at times. But so that's on Wednesday. That'll be exciting to watch. NCAA, the women will find out. Gopher women's basketball will find out next week who they will play in the NCAA tournament. They should be not only make it in, but they should be a pretty high seed.
Mm-hmm.
So they'll be a lot of fun to watch. And I do think that they could make some waves. They have some room to make some waves this week. But the league opens for the NFL on Tuesday. And that is a very big deal because there are a lot of things surrounding the Vikings that are possibilities. One of which is, will we find out this week what happens with Adrian Peterson? I don't think it's going to be that fast. No one really knows what happened in the meeting in Houston earlier this week.
Oh, but I loved the breakdown of the hug on Twitter.
Oh, isn't that great? That's what Twitter's for. I love Twitter. I love people
on
love Twitter.
I love Twitter. I love Twitter, but I was sitting there. I was laughing. I mean, the breakdown of a hug.
What kind of hug was it? You know, he's going to the right side. Does that mean he's happy? There's a pat on the back after. Was it a bro hug? Was it a please get out of my house? I'm about to release the dogs hug.
It was the cameras are on. Let's play nice hug.
Yeah. I read an article yesterday about Adrian's dad, Nelson, who says that he believes the Vikings are trying to drive the market up on a trade for
Peterson.
I read
that too.
And we've talked about this. That doesn't surprise me.
Yeah.
And I think he's right on the money. Mm-hmm. I think they are trying to drive the market up on him. Now, whether they will be able to find a dancing partner for a trade, but we'll find out this week. That's March 10th. I also think that the Vikings will make some free agency acquisitions at some point here, but they're going to have to figure out, I feel like they're going to have to figure out what they want to do with Adrian Peterson.
That's
pretty
kind
quickly.
Of, yeah, I mean, that
there's a lot of money tied up.
Yes,
in that.
Absolutely. I mean, it seems to be the thing that's just sort of hanging there, you know, and once that actually gets resolved, I think that it'll be just kind of like the floodgates open, and that's when
it's a spicy meatball. It's a big, it's the elephant in the corner of the room right now, and
yeah.
It is a massive elephant. What are they going to do with him? I am watching the situation in Houston, but not the Adrian Peterson situation.
Is this your unpopular opinion?
This is my very unpopular opinion that people get upset about. I'm watching to see what happens with the Andre Johnson situation in Houston. Apparently, Andre Johnson wants out of Houston. They don't want to pay him his money anymore. He's making a good amount. He's 33 years old. His numbers have dropped off in the last couple of years. So I think they're going to make him a free agent. They're going to release him. Now, there are plenty of teams, I think, that are lining up, whether he's willing to take the salary hit that he's going to have to take. I am of the thought that I think the Vikings should join the line for Andre Johnson.
Well, for sure. I mean, his numbers have fallen off. Why not?
He's 33.
No.
They have fallen off, and that's what people are going to say. Are you kidding? The last thing the Vikings need is another old wide receiver.
He'll be 34, by the way.
34 by then?
Yep, July is his birthday's in July.
I mean, he's got at least 2 years before everything falls apart, right?
I don't know. You would know.
36. Wow. All because I wouldn't sing Frozen.
Yeah, no.
So he's
got
to be
personal.
But here's the deal. He had 85 receptions last year, 936 yards and 3 touchdowns. The 3 touchdowns isn't exciting, obviously not. But 936 yards would have been the most had he been in wearing purple of
really?
Any of the Vikings receivers.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
So if and that's with quarterbacks who will really wow you named Case Keenum, Ryan Fitzpatrick, and Ryan Mallett. He did that with those 3 quarterbacks. Imagine what he could do with Teddy Bridgewater. And don't try to tell me, well, Teddy, not you, people out there. I'm talking to the Twitter world. Don't try to tell me Teddy's this, Teddy's that. You love Teddy Bridgewater. Everybody here, you love Teddy Bridgewater, and you know it. And you think he's the next big thing. And I think Teddy's the next big thing. And he's going to get it done here. And I think with a big target like Andre Johnson, those guys can get some things done. If he stays healthy, obviously that's a big one too. I also like the idea, and he is, by all accounts, a good locker room guy, a hard worker, and knows a lot of different offense. He knows the league. He gets it. I would love to see him try to mentor Cordarrelle Patterson, because Cordarrelle Patterson needs a mentor in the worst way.
Yeah.
He does.
Hell no.
Hell no, he doesn't need a mentor. Hell no, you're saying hell no on Andre Johnson.
I'm saying hell no on Andre Johnson.
But
I get what you're saying.
The money's right, he's going to have to take a pay cut, but he's going to have to take a pay cut no matter where he goes.
Right.
He's going to want to win a Super Bowl. I don't think he's going to look at the Vikings and go, hey, this is my chance for a Super Bowl.
No, I mean,
I don't think
unfortunately,
it is right
not yet.
I don't think this is it for him, but I would love to see the Vikings try, but they won't.
We'll see if your dreams come true.
We'll see if my dreams come true. I do think there's a chance that they can make a run at A.J. Hawk, as we talked earlier, mm-hmm. even though another guy whose numbers have fallen off, 90 tackles last year. It's not bad. That'd be fourth on the Vikings when you look at who they have. So if they bring back Greenway, Greenway's another they're going to have to decide this week what they're going to do with Chad Greenway as well on the outside. But imagine that linebacking core. Chad Greenway on one side, Anthony Barr on the other, and A.J. Hawk in the middle. Doesn't that sound nice?
Yeah, ain't nobody getting through.
I know.
Yeah.
I like the idea of it.
It is a good idea. It's a great thought, Dave.
We'll see if I'm right. If it works, it's a great thought. If it doesn't work...
It wasn't your idea?
It was not my... It was Jill's idea. Wild at Colorado tonight. This is going to be a big week. I mean, they're all big games. They're all big weeks. This is just going to be a cool game. It should be a great atmosphere.
It'll be fun.
I shouldn't say they're going to lose tonight. But I think the real question is whether this is going to turn out into an all-out line brawl.
I hope not, but I think after the last game with Colorado, anything can happen tonight. And, I mean, the Wild right now, they're 0-4-0 against them this season. Varlamov is starting again tonight. They're on back-to-back games, Colorado is. So, you know, hopefully the Wild will stay the course. They've been doing well. I think they should win this one tonight. I really do think they will win this one tonight. But if it turns into the disaster that was the last game. I mean, at least Stewart's there now to kind of...
This has become a great rivalry.
No punching Granlund.
Yeah, right. Keep him up. This has become a surprisingly good rivalry between these two teams. I think when the realignment happened, we all thought that Winnipeg would be the natural rivalry.
Yeah, absolutely
and,
did.
And, but it's not. It's this Colorado rivalry, a lot of it has to do with the playoffs last year and the Matt Cook hit on Tyson Berry. And,
oh, yeah, that got all brought up again.
Yeah, I mean, that always comes back. This is a really, it's a good rivalry, and it is a, it's a fun time to be rooting on the Wild right now.
It's fun to be a fan.
It is.
I mean, we don't, these are rare times. We don't get this very often, and this is, it's so, it's fun. I mean, everybody's talking about the Wild. Everybody, you know, you have a goaltender that's just crazy, on fire, having a great time. These guys are having a great time playing in front of them.
He's not really on fire, you know. Now, I joke, but I had someone last night. I said on the air.
No.
I said, Devan Dubnyk literally on fire. And I
Well, you said literally. I didn't say literally.
It was a joke, and I got people saying to me, you know, Dave, he's not literally on fire. And I said, I love you, Twitter. I heart you, Twitter people. You're fantastic.
Don't say literally.
Why? It's a joke. I was having fun. Let's see.
It was missed.
On Twitter, I agree with Jill. Hell no on the Vikes signing Andre Johnson. Mm-hmm. No T-Jack either. I don't think there's any way they ever sign Tavares Jackson.
No.
I know. I got a text a little while ago from someone that said, T-Jack, Super Bowl champion. Yeah, he didn't do that. he had as much to do with Seattle winning a Super Bowl as I did. So, nice try. Reports are that Sean Hill is apparently someone who the Vikings are looking at. So that should really, that should excite the heck out of you.
Is it nap time?
Sean Hill.
Not nap time?
That's very, very exciting. Eight games last year, completion percentage of 63% of his passes. 1,600 yards. 8 touchdowns, 7 interceptions. Not a bad backup. He's 35 years old. So you bring him in as a guy who could mentor Teddy Bridgewater.
Okay, yeah. Again, with 35.
Yeah. It's what you do. I mean, you know, if you're a guy like Martin Sanchez who's young, you probably don't want to come into a situation where you're not ready to admit that you're going to be a backup. Sean Hill's ready to admit that he's a backup.
Okay. Then that
so
could work.
He takes the money. He goes, all right, cool. I'll hang out for a couple seasons.
Right.
I'll get paid a lot of money to hold a clipboard. And if you need me to throw a pass every now and then, I will.
I'll take that job.
Sean Hill, 83 QB rating in 8 games last year. 63%. 8 touchdowns, 7 interceptions. Hey, 10 rushes for 10 yards. But you don't need him to do that. You don't really. I mean, if it all goes well, you don't even want him in the game.
Yeah, right, right.
So, well, it's been a fun show today. I made it another week without having to sing Let It Go. So that's great.
Can't believe you keep getting out of this.
I will try to weasel my way for one more week. Our thanks to Tyler Mason from Fox Sports North joining us to talk Twins, Wild tonight against Colorado. And, of course, we have NASCAR coming up next. The race today
is later on today. They're live from the Deer Classic. Yeah, the Ticket Outdoor Show is live from the National Sports Center in Blaine.
That sounds like fun.
Yes.
Hanging out up there. Thanks for listening today. Thanks, Tyler Mason. Thank you, Jill.
Thank you, Dave.
Always good to be with you. And we will see you next Sunday, same time, same channel. This has been the Benchwarmers on Sports Radio 105, The Ticket.